Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space, and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we explore the fascinating world of science. Science that touches your life. Science that changes the way you view the universe. And speaking about the universe, we're going to talk to our friend Ken Croswell, astronomer from Berkeley, about the Webb Space Telescope. In other words, a telescope that could become the successor to the Hubble Space Telescope that gave us so many gorgeous pictures of the universe. But first, let me make a short announcement. Once again, I have a new book out. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's called The God Equation. It's about what I do for a living. I work on something called string theory. In fact, I'm the co-founder of one of the main branches of string theory, string field theory. And the book is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. Is it possible, as Einstein believed, that one day we'll have an equation perhaps no more than 1 inch long that will allow us to, quote, read the mind of God, in his words. In other words, an equation which will summarize all the laws of the universe into one simple equation. Well, that's the book, The God Equation. But today, we're going to talk about something different. Speaking about stars, we're going to talk about the Webb Space Telescope, a telescope that many people believe is a successor to the Hubble Space Telescope, which really opened up many new chapters in astronomy. The Hubble Space Telescope gave us a glimpse of the center of galaxies, exploding stars, stars that are doing things that we never thought possible. Yes, stars in different configurations, all of which were photographed by the Hubble Space Telescope. So with us today is Ken Croswell, astronomer at Berkeley, and we're going to be talking about the Webb and other developments in astronomy. So Ken, once again, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Glad to be here, Michio.
Well, let's put the Hubble Space Telescope and the Webb Telescope back to back. How do they compare?
Well, they're both in space, so that's good, because then you're above the distorting effects of the Earth's atmosphere. But the big difference is that the James Webb Space Telescope is a lot bigger than the Hubble Space Telescope. The Hubble Space Telescope is actually a rather small telescope, and the reason it has achieved so much over the last 30-plus years is because it's above the atmosphere, and so it doesn't have to suffer from the distortion. The James Webb Space Telescope, though, is a big telescope. It's 6.5 meters across, so that compares to the 2.4 meters of Hubble. That's a factor of about 2.7 larger, okay? Now you square that number, and you get the number 7. So the James Webb Space Telescope has about 7 times the light-collecting area as the Hubble Space Telescope, and so it should see farther into space. And probably the number one goal of the James Webb Space Telescope is to find the very first galaxies that started arising something like 13.5 billion years ago, shortly after the Big Bang. The Big Bang was a great explosion, the brilliant explosion that gave birth to our universe 13.8 billion years ago. Now, we don't know exactly when the first stars and the first galaxies formed, but we think it was within a few hundred million years of the Big Bang. So something like 13.5 billion years ago. The James Webb Space Telescope, we hope, will find those. those galaxies. They're hard to see because, number one, of course, they're very far away. They're, you know, 13.5 billion light years away. But also, they're hard to see because they were small. They're not like the Milky Way. They're not like the Andromeda galaxy. The Milky Way and the Andromeda galaxy are huge galaxies. I mean, just huge. I mean, the Milky Way has something like a trillion times the mass of the sun. But the first galaxies to form were small. They were dwarf galaxies. Okay, now, there are lots of dwarf galaxies in the universe around us. That's nothing unusual. The problem is dwarf galaxies are a lot harder to see than giant galaxies like the Milky Way. But the hope is that the James Webb Space Telescope will be able to see these small galaxies, these dwarf galaxies, located 13.5 billion light years away. That's the hope. And, you know, we'll see if it happens. I sure hope it does.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, the universe, we think, was born about 13.8 billion years ago, but it was dark back then. There were no stars, as you mentioned. Stars didn't ignite till later, a few hundred million years after the birth of the universe. So there was a dark period where there was no light, as we know it, from stars. So isn't the web going to be able to unveil this mystery of the dark era, the era before the first light lit up the universe?
Well, let me clarify something. The Big Bang itself was extremely bright because it was very hot. Okay, and anything that's very hot emits enormous amounts of light. So if you had been present at, you know, let's say 1 minute after the Big Bang and could somehow have survived the enormous temperature, you probably would have been blinded by all the light because it was just so incredibly brilliant. But then, as you mentioned, the universe expanded, and something that expands cools. And just, it didn't take long for the universe to get sufficiently cool that all that light, all that visible light, went away and got stretched out to longer wavelengths that our eyes can't see. And that began the Dark Ages that you mentioned. And then the first stars and the first galaxies started to form. And what had been a long period of darkness, what the astronomers call the Dark Ages of the universe, well, the universe started shining again. And what the James Webb Space Telescope will do, I mean, it's probably not going to see the Dark Ages because I didn't know that there was much to see back then because there wasn't any light. But the first galaxies and the first stars, the telescope should be able to see. That's the hope. Because those are the things that transformed the universe from darkness to some light. I mean, you have to realize the universe is, even with all the stars and galaxies that exist today, it's still a pretty dark place. But obviously there are stars like the sun that emit light, and the James Webb Space Telescope will hopefully find the very first stars and galaxies and tell us a lot about how they arose.
Okay, now the Hubble gave us spectacular photographs in the visible and ultraviolet frequencies. Now the Webb will also do that, but it specializes in the infrared range.
Yes.
So what can you see with an infrared camera that you can't see so well with a Hubble-style camera that mainly is in the optical frequencies?
Well, this gets back to the first galaxies. You see, the first galaxies are so far away that as their light travels through the expanding space of our universe, their light waves get stretched out to longer wavelengths. So their ultraviolet light gets stretched to first visible and then to infrared. And likewise, their visible light gets stretched out to infrared. So by the time it reaches our vicinity in the James Webb Space Telescope, that radiation from those first galaxies lies in the infrared part of the spectrum. So that's why the James Webb Space Telescope will focus most on the infrared and also the longer visible wavelengths.
Okay, well, let's take a short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call if you want to get on the air. The number to call is 510-804-9902. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from. And hey, maybe you can share some of the secrets of the universe on national radio. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, if you want to get on the air, if you want to ask a question, give us a call at 612-564-8135. With us today, once again, is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens. In fact, a number of great books. Go to his website, kencroswell.com. And we're talking today about the Webb Space Telescope, now launched into outer space. A telescope that is much bigger than the Hubble Space Telescope, with seven times the light-gathering potential, able to perhaps open up new chapters in the history of astronomy. And if you read their press releases, well, it's rather ambitious. The Hubble Space Telescope is going to give us insight into exoplanets, black holes, galaxies, exploding stars. But let's take them one at a time. First of all, exoplanets. There was a blip in the media. We speculated that the Webb may just be powerful enough to actually photograph a planet going around another star. Now, this is not a given, of course, but Ken, what would it be like if you could actually see photographs of planets going around other stars, perhaps taken by the Webb Space Telescope? Wouldn't that give us new insights into life in the universe?
Well, we've actually already photographed a few planets going around other stars, but those few planets are located very far out from their stars, because then you can actually see them, because their light is not being interfered with by the main star. Now, the James Webb Space Telescope, as we were discussing, is optimized for the infrared, and guess where planets radiate most of their radiation? Not at visible wavelengths, it's at infrared wavelengths, because planets don't generate their own light, but they do have some warmth to them. I mean, the Earth has warmth, even Pluto has some warmth, and these objects, which compared to a star are rather cold, are going to emit most of their radiation at infrared wavelengths. So yes, it is certainly possible that the James Webb Space Telescope will be able to detect the infrared glow of planets going around other stars. And if it can do that, well, maybe it can tell us a little bit about what's in the atmospheres of those planets. And, of course, that's a very interesting question because, you know, we're at the stage now where we have discovered thousands and thousands of planets going around other stars, and that's great because, you know, 35 years ago, we didn't know of any planets going around other stars. But what we really want to do now is characterize those planets, learn what their properties are like, what's in their atmospheres. Are they, you know, hydrogen and helium the way Jupiter and Saturn are? Or might there be more interesting gases in the atmosphere, like nitrogen and oxygen, the way there is here on Earth? So that's the hope that the James Webb Space Telescope, because it is optimized for the infrared, will be able to detect these planets, because planets glow brightest in the infrared.
Now, there's something called Drake's Equation, which tried to calculate how many intelligent life forms there are in the galaxy, depending upon understanding certain numbers, like the percent of planetary systems in the outer space, the percent of planets with oceans on them. And with all these telescopes and sensors, we had a few numbers in. We know that on average, every star in the heavens has a planet going around it. But with the web, do you think we'll be able to fill some more numbers in the web, in the Drake's equation? Like how many planets have atmospheres going around them, perhaps with water and oxygen? Do you think the Webb Space Telescope may be sensitive enough to fill in some of the details in the Drake equation, which in turn will allow us to calculate how many intelligent life forms there are in the galaxy? What are your thoughts?
Well, that would be very nice, but it's, of course, very hard to predict what a telescope is going to see before it's even started seeing anything. I mean, let's think back to the Hubble Space Telescope. Who would have thought that the Hubble Space Telescope would discover that the universe's expansion is accelerating? We had all thought when Hubble Space Telescope was launched that the gravity of all the galaxies would cause the universe's expansion to slow down over time. But the Hubble Space Telescope in the late 1990s discovered just the opposite. Now, when it comes to filling out the famous equation from Frank Drake, certainly if we have a better knowledge of the planets going around other stars, we'll be able to say better which ones are rocky worlds like the Earth. And especially, it'd be really nice to know, hey, which of those have oxygen in their atmospheres? Because, you know, oxygen is a really amazing element. It's very unnatural for a planet to have oxygen in its air. And the reason for that is because oxygen is so very reactive. You know, if all life on Earth disappeared, the oxygen on Earth would also soon disappear because it would react with the ground and just and vanish from the atmosphere. So if we could discover someday a planet going around another star that has oxygen in its air, or maybe some alternate form of oxygen like ozone, that would be a strong clue that perhaps that planet has life, because it's life on Earth that pumps this vast amount of oxygen into our atmosphere. Now, we human beings, of course, breathe in the oxygen and take it for granted, but that oxygen comes from someplace, and it comes from, you know, the trees and the plants and so forth. And likewise, if we someday find a planet with oxygen, lots of oxygen in its air, that would be a very strong sign that that planet perhaps has some form of life.
Now, the Webb Space Telescope is sensitive to the infrared range, while the Hubble was mainly in the visible and ultraviolet range. Some people say that that could allow us to penetrate deeper into clouds, because, of course, the Hubble at the optical frequencies could not penetrate so much into clouds. But if you think about it, so much of the universe is clouded up, like the center of the Milky Way. Why can't we see this fireball every night illuminating the night sky, the galactic nuclei? We cannot see it because of all the dust clouds that obscure the center of the Milky Way galaxy. So do you think the Webb might be able to unveil some of the secrets of the universe which are covered with clouds?
Yes, indeed. Now, the Hubble Space Telescope was able to detect some of the near infrared wavelengths, but as you point out, dust blocks visible light. And as you go to longer and longer wavelengths into the infrared, more and more of the radiation goes right through the dust, barely notices the dust. By the way, this is the same phenomenon that causes a setting sun to look red, because what's happening in the Earth's atmosphere is the atmosphere is scattering away and absorbing the shorter wavelengths, namely the blue light and the yellow light, and leaving the longer visible wavelengths, like orange and red, to reach your eye. And the same thing happens in space. And then you take that further. I mean, the infrared has even longer wavelengths than red light does. And so, for example, you mentioned looking at the galactic center with the James Webb Space Telescope. That's a great idea, because that visible wavelength is something, it's amazing how few photons reach up from the center of the galaxy at visible wavelengths. But at infrared, it's going to be a lot easier.
In fact, by rights, every night there should be a fireball that rises that is comparable to the light coming from the moon, which is the galactic nuclei. But unfortunately, we see nothing. Nothing, because everything is obscured by dust clouds. Now, we think that at the center of the dust cloud, there's a black hole. So do you think that the Webb may be able to give us more details about the center of our own backyard, the Milky Way galaxy, where there is a black hole?
I certainly hope so. And, yes, I think that's a very likely possibility. At the very center of the Milky Way is the largest black hole in our entire galaxy, Sagittarius A star, named because it lies in the constellation Sagittarius. It has a mass 4 million times that of the Sun, and every star in the Milky Way, including the Sun, goes around that black hole. It takes us about 230 million years to complete an orbit around that black hole, but there are stars located very close to that black hole, and they take just a few years to go around that black hole. And
Another short commercial break. Once again, our special guest today is Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The COVID Omicron variant surge is starting to decline in some parts of the United States. That's according to CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky. However, she warned that the surge is far from over. During that same COVID briefing, Walensky was asked about the definition of fully vaccinated. She says they are making some smaller changes to their vaccination status guidance.
Right now, we're pivoting our language. We really want to make sure people are up to date. That means if you recently got your second dose, you're not eligible for a booster, you're up to date. If you are eligible for a booster and you haven't gotten it, you're not up to date, and you need to get your booster in order to be up to date.
President Biden spending some time at the White House Friday Friday addressing the Conference of Mayors' 90th winter meeting, the president commending them for their service. You're listening to USA Radio News. On Friday, close to 50,000 pro-life advocates bundled up and took to the National Mall in Washington, D.C. for the 49th annual March for Life. The organization's president, Jeannie Mancini, kicked off the event.
We march today in defense of human rights and to celebrate the dignity and worth of every human life because equality begins in the womb.
This year's event comes as a conservative majority on the Supreme Court is considering overturning Roe v. Wade.
We know that it has taken a great deal of work from all of you over the past 48 years to bring us to this one moment in time.
That's Republican Congressman Julia Letlow of Louisiana. Hollywood stars taking to social media to pay tribute to comedian Louis Anderson after he died Friday morning. Anderson dying at the age of 68 following a battle with blood cancer. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about the universe with Ken Croswell, astronomer at Berkeley, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. When we last left off, we were talking about black holes. Now, there was that sensational picture released a while ago of the black hole in a neighboring galaxy, M87. But that photograph was not taken by one telescope. You had to lash together the light from several telescopes to get that great picture. Now, the Webb, of course, is only one telescope, but it's in outer space. So do you think we'll be able to get photographs like that, like the one of M87, which was a product of many telescopes? What do you think? Do you think the Webb Space Telescope is powerful enough to peer into the heart of a black hole?
Well, I doubt that, but I do think that it will be powerful enough to see more clearly into the centers of large galaxies like M87 and to see what's going around those black holes. Because most giant galaxies, such as the Milky Way, such as the Andromeda Galaxy, such as M87, have a supermassive black hole at their center. And that causes stars and gas near the center of the galaxies to go around the black holes very fast. And so hopefully the James Webb Space Telescope will be able to detect that And by measuring those velocities, determine the masses of those black holes more accurately.
Now, you mentioned that the Hubble Space Telescope made a surprising discovery, which won the Nobel Prize for several astronomers, the fact that the universe is not slowing down as we thought, but actually speeding up, exponentially speeding up, leaving the possibility that we may all freeze to death in the future. Well, if you had a crystal ball, do you think that the Webb Space Telescope has a chance of also making rather stunning discoveries that we did not anticipate or did not follow the rule book? After all, the universe seems to be full of surprises. Do you think that we're going to get a few surprises from the Webb?
Oh, yes. I think probably the greatest discoveries that telescope will make, we're not even talking about right now because we are not smart enough to know what the universe has in store for us. I think you look at various spacecraft. For example, the Voyager mission. I did an article about Voyager for the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences recently, which is available free on the PNAS.org website. And the discoveries that Voyager made were not anticipated. For example, it saw erupting volcanoes on Jupiter's moon Io, discovered a thick nitrogen atmosphere around Saturn's moon Titan. So the James Webb Space Telescope, I have no doubt its greatest discoveries will be things that we have not anticipated. And I think that's fantastic. And there, so yes, let me put it this way. I will be very disappointed if there aren't a lot of surprising discoveries coming out of the James Webb Space Telescope. I hope we don't know so much about the universe right now that everything that the space, that the new telescope covers, we have anticipated.
Okay, and let's say a few things about stars, exploding stars, supernovae. Do you think that the Webb Space Telescope may give us better understanding of the evolution, the birth and death of stars? In other words, the life history of stars, because of course our sun is a star, which is also on the trajectory of going into maybe a white dwarf in the future. So you think that the Webb Space Telescope is going to give us bigger, better insights into the life cycle of stars?
Yes, I do, because, again, it's a big telescope. It's located beyond the Earth's atmosphere, and it will see stars much more clearly than the Hubble Space Telescope.
Okay. Well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Keep the calls coming at 612-564-8135. We're talking about the universe with astronomer Ken Croswell of Berkeley.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is astronomer Ken Croswell, author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. Now, we're talking about the universe, like the Hubble Space Telescope. But let's shift gears a little bit and talk about what happened just recently when a rock the size of the main span of the Golden Gate Bridge, sailed by the Earth and caught a lot of people off guard. It was an asteroid called 1994 PC1. It is 3,400 feet across. That is 2.5 times the size of the Empire State Building. It was traveling at about 45,000 miles per hour. If it hit the Earth, it would have knocked out a good chunk of England, for example. And we didn't even know what was coming till several years ago. But we've been tracking it since the 1990s. And it just goes to show you that the universe could be a little bit more dangerous than we previously thought. But there's something called the DART, the D-A-R-T, a rocket that we hope will nudge an asteroid of this size out of the way. So instead of hitting the Earth, it'll be deflected away from the Earth. So Ken, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the fact that these rocks, these huge rocks, asteroids, have been since time immemorial whizzing by the Earth, and we were blissfully unaware of them until the coming of telescope technology and the space program. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I prefer to look at asteroids more positively. These are the leftover building blocks of the planets, especially the terrestrial planets, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. And so by studying the asteroids, we can learn about the formation of the planets of our solar system. Also, asteroids may someday be mined for valuable elements. Now, the asteroids, of course, contain the same elements as the Earth does, but here on Earth, a lot of very valuable elements, such as gold and platinum, sank into the core of the Earth and vanished from the surface. So that's one reason gold and platinum are so rare on the Earth's surface. That process did not happen on most asteroids. So who knows? Maybe someday we'll be able to mine asteroids for their valuable material. But of course, what you point out is also true. If one of these asteroids were to hit us, especially a big one like the one that did in the dinosaurs 66 million years ago, well, we would be in big trouble. So we do want to know about all the asteroids that are out there. Now, this recent asteroid that passed close to Earth, it was a lot smaller than the one that did in the dinosaurs, and it passed about 5 times the distance of the moon, which by coincidence is about where the James Webb Space Telescope will be located when it's in its final position.
Now, several centuries ago, President Thomas Jefferson, when he signed the Louisiana Purchase and doubled the size of the United States, wrote a depressing letter stating that it might take a thousand years to colonize this huge, uncharted area called the Louisiana Purchase, or basically half the United States. But then something happened. The gold rush happened. In 1849, we had the gold rush, and all of a sudden California was colonized within a matter of years, not a thousand years. And some people think that the next gold rush could be, as you mentioned, in outer space with asteroid mining, that platinum and other heavy metals, rare metals and elements could be found in these things. So do you think that's a real economic reality? The fact that one day we may be mining the heavens? In other words, as Thomas Jefferson said, instead of a thousand years, we could cut it down to a few years because of a gold rush where all sorts of people would be putting up their savings to explore not just California, but outer space. What are your thoughts?
Well, that would be very nice. The question, of course, is does it cost more money to go into space than it does to retrieve the gold and the platinum and the other valuable elements you'd be mining? And I don't think anyone can predict the future. I mean, who knows what the cost of going into space will be 100 years from now? And for that matter, who knows what the price of gold and platinum will be 100 years from now? So if I knew those two things, I could probably answer your question, but I don't know those two things.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Ken Croswell, astronomer of Berkeley, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens, and this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to get on the air, give us a call at 612-564-8135 or go to my website, mkaku.org. So stay tuned.
I represent low-cost airlines, and we know a lot of you are not traveling right now, and we understand. However, if you do need to travel between now and the end of the year, now is a great time to lock in some of the lowest prices we've seen in a lifetime. Hey, in normal times, we can save you up to 75%, but now airlines are practically giving away seats. We have inside deals on over 500 airlines. Here are a few sample round-trip deals we found. Seattle to Vegas, $35. Chicago to Atlanta, $85. Los Angeles to Atlanta, $100. Of course, there are some limitations, but the airlines want your business right now. And cancellation and change fees are flexible. So fly somewhere this year, book now, save a ton, call right now.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 5 million fans on Facebook, and I've written 5 New York Times bestsellers. The latest bestseller is called The God Equation, The Quest for a Theory of Everything. But with us today, once again, is Ashaun Ken Croswell of Berkeley, author of the book Alchemy of the Heavens. Ken, let me ask you about an article that you recently wrote about the Doppler shift, the way we determine the speed of stars and, well, the expanding universe as well. Everybody knows that when a car comes toward you, it sounds a little bit different when it whizzes by you. It sounds like this. Now, you've all heard that since you were a child, when a car goes whizzing by, but it can use that Doppler shift to calculate the speed of not just a car, but a star in the heavens. But recently you wrote an article showing that there's another way to do this without having to use the Doppler shift. And I scratched my head and I said to myself, no, wait a minute, isn't that the only way we know to determine how fast the star is moving? So how do you do it?
Well, it used to be the only way, but thanks to the high precision of the Gaia satellite, which was launched in 2013, for a few nearby stars, we are actually able to measure their speed through space without using the Doppler shift. And yes, it does sound impossible, and I had the same reaction when I saw the paper, but I did an article on this that anyone could read. It's at the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. There's no paywall. Just go to PNAS.org. and search on my name, Ken Croswell, and you will find that article, PNAS.org. And here's the thing. Let me explain first why it's so important to know the velocities of stars. We want to know the orbits of different stars around the galaxy. And as I point out in my book, The Alchemy of the Heavens, which is all about the Milky Way, the orbits of stars tell us a lot, not only about the stars, but also about the evolution of our galaxy, because the oldest stars have very different orbits around the Milky Way than do the youngest stars. The younger stars, like the Sun, have fairly circular orbits around the Milky Way, whereas the oldest stars tend to have very elliptical orbits around the Milky Way, and we can use that information to deduce how the stars and the entire galaxy have changed over billions of years. So, as you just stated quite correctly, we astronomers have long relied on the Doppler shift to measure how quickly a star is moving toward or away from us. Ever since the late 1800s, but there is now a new way to determine that speed, which is called the radial velocity. And it turns out that if you measure the speed across the line of sight, not along the line of sight, but across the line of sight, and see how that velocity changes over time, you can deduce how quickly the star is moving toward you or away from you. And it used to be impossible to do that. But over a century ago, there were certain far-sighted astronomers who anticipated that someday we would have the technology to measure star position so well that we could measure how fast the star is moving toward us by looking at how fast its motion across our line of sight is changing. And that came true last year in 2021 for seven stars near the sun by using data from the Gaia spacecraft, which measures star positions incredibly precisely. Two astronomers in Sweden were able to deduce radial velocities accurate better than 1 kilometer per second, which is the standard for measuring useful velocities of stars in space. So it's all come true, and you can read about it at pnas.org.
And another question. You wrote an article about an exploding star system that kept on exploding for 85 years. Now, usually when a star blows up, it goes away within a matter of weeks to months. And you see remnants of that, of course, for hundreds of years. But here is an explosion that took place over a period of 85 years. How's that possible?
Well, yes, that is pretty amazing, because normally when we see a nova or a supernova, it flares up and then goes away pretty fast. And this particular star is a very young star. You know, novae and supernovae arise from old stars. And it was first, the flare-up started in 1936. I wouldn't call it an explosion because the star is doing just fine. In fact, it's growing bigger and bigger, more and more massive, probably. And the star is in the constellation Orion, which has lots of young stars. Its name is Fu Orionis, and believe it or not, it's still nearly as bright today as it was back when it flared up 85 years ago. And so the question is, how do these stars do that? Because we have now found other stars just like Fu Orionis, and as a result, we think that maybe all young stars, maybe even the Sun, did this. And if so, it would have had profound effects, presumably, on the planets that were then developing. And so there's a new theory, which I wrote about at Science News, saying that maybe what happened with the star in Orion is that you actually had two stars, and one star passed close to the other and sort of stirred up its protoplanetary disk of gas and dust, which is giving birth to new stars. And as a result, that caused the flare-up and caused it to last for 85 years and counting, because the flare-up's not over yet. So it's an interesting hypothesis. I don't know if it's true, but one way to test that hypothesis will be to observe the two stars that make up that system and see if indeed their paths agree with the calculations in the new paper.
Oh, no, I think we ran out of time. Okay, well, Ken, thank you so much once again for being on Science Fantastic. Thank you, Ken.
And thank you. Thank you very much.
And once again, he's the author of a number of great books, including Alchemy of the Heavens. And you've been listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, to find out what this show is all about. I have 5 million fans on Facebook, and I have 5 New York Times bestsellers. Mkaku, M-K-A-K-U dot O-R-G is where to go to find out about Science Fantastic. Good day.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.